Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus gives us the victory. Praise God. Shake your neighbor's hand and then you may be seated.
All right. Happy Easter, everybody. Great to see you all here. Isn't that a beautiful day out today? My goodness, it's beautiful. After church, we're going to go home and have family over and eat, and I might even sit in my lawn chair on the deck. I think I will do that. I'm going to put on a pair of shorts. That will feel nice. All right. All right. God's only forgotten Son. Kind of a play on words, isn't it? We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Well, Jesus was not only his only begotten Son, he was his only forgotten Son. We understand that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the very heartbeat of Christianity. The resurrection is the central theme of the new covenant. However, it's been watered down and introduced simply as a philosophical idea and as a religious holiday. As Christians, we know the resurrection of Jesus is the life, the very life, like Ricky said, the life of the Christian faith. And today we want to look at the resurrection of Jesus and understand what's been provided for us. What did Jesus actually purchase for us through his death, burial, and resurrection? Today many people know nothing about Jesus. They know about him without really knowing him. But beyond that, it's important to know and understand the power of the resurrection and what it means to each one of us personally. It's possible, it is so possible to know Jesus and still have a weak and defeated life. However, when you know him and the power of his life, the power of his resurrection, the revelation, the true heart revelation of that resurrection, it'll work mightily in you. It'll cause you to live and walk in abundant victory in every area of your life. The resurrection of Jesus is what takes Christianity out of the realm of religion and philosophy and makes it a living reality in our lives. So after Jesus was arrested, falsely accused, beaten, and crucified, his body was laid in a tomb. And we pick up in Matthew chapter 28. It says, after the Sabbath, as the first light of the new week dawned, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to keep vigil at the tomb. Suddenly, the earth reeled and rocked under their feet as God's angel came down from heaven, came right up to where they were standing. He rolled back the stone and then sat on it. Picture this. He rolls the big stone away and then he sits on it. Shafts of lightning blazed from him. His garments shimmered snow white. The guards at the tomb were scared to death. They were so frightened they couldn't move. The angels here or what? A guy just showed up, rolled the tomb away, the stone away, sat on it, and lightning and lights flashing out of him, and he tells you, don't be afraid. I mean, seriously? He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus, the one they nailed to the cross. He is not here. He was raised. Just as he said. Come and look at the place where he was placed. Now get on your way quickly and tell his disciples. Tell his disciples he is risen from the dead. Notice that the first preachers of the resurrection of Jesus were two women. Just a thought. He's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. That's the message. What's the message? He is risen from the dead. The women, deep in wonder and full of joy, lost no time in leaving the tomb. They ran to tell the disciples. Then Jesus met them, stopping them in their tracks. Good morning, he said. They fell to their knees, embraced his feet, and worshiped him. Jesus said, you're holding on to me for dear life. Don't be frightened like that. Go tell my brothers that they are to go to Galilee and I'll meet them there. Meanwhile, the guards had scattered, but a few of them went into the city and told the high priest everything that had happened. They called a meeting of the religious leaders and came up with a plan. They took large sums of money and gave it to the soldiers, bribing them to say, "His disciples came in the night and stole the body while we were sleeping." They assured them, "If the governor heard about you sleeping on duty," which they weren't, "we will make sure you don't get blamed." The soldiers took the bribe and did as they were told. That story cooked up in the high council is still going around. And 2,000 years later, it still is. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. And there they met with Jesus. Jesus rose from the grave on that first Easter Sunday, the day we celebrate, the day we commemorate, the day we honor today. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, he experienced the judgment for our sin, spirit, soul, and body. He experienced our spiritual alienation from God so we could experience his spiritual union with God. He did it all in faith for us. His redemption was not a symbolic redemption. It was actual. It was substance. It was an actual transaction that took place, ladies and gentlemen. If it was symbolic, the blood of bulls and goats and cows and lambs could have served as the sacrifice. That could have paid the price for our sins. But no, Jesus paid an actual price so we can know an actual redemption, spirit, soul, and body, because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. His servant-like dependence as man on God is our example. For you see, Jesus walked this earth as a man in covenant with God. Jesus did not walk on this earth with an angelic nature, but he did not have a sinful nature. He had a human nature. There's a difference between a human nature and a sin nature. A human nature means you have the ability to thirst, grow tired, hungry, and die. Jesus experienced all of these. On the cross, he said, "I thirst." You see other times where he's eating with his disciples because he was hungry. And Jesus died, literally died, on that cross. Yet Jesus was without sin. Jesus left his glory, his deity, his godship, if you will, in heaven. He came to earth as a man. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which is with God, in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation," notice this phrase, "made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." Verse 7, he made himself of no reputation, from the King James Version. I collect Bible versions, and I like to compare and see what different things say. It doesn't change the meaning, but it shows different shades and different nuances. The Young's literal translation says, "But he emptied himself, the Goodspeed, but laid it aside." The Amplified translation, "But he stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity." The Phillips translation, "But stripped himself of every advantage." The Worrell, "But emptied himself." The notes for that says, "For the time he relinquished the glory which he had with the Father before the world was, and his vast riches." The Weymouth translation, "He stripped himself of his glory." The New American Standard, "But emptied himself, laid aside his privilege." The Coney Bear, did you know there was a Bible called the Coney Bear translation? And the Montgomery say the same thing, "But emptied himself of his glory." The New Testament in Contemporary English, "He set aside the privileges of deity." The Message translation, "He set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human." He became one of us. Jesus Christ took on human flesh so that through flesh and blood he could contact death and defeat it from the inside out. As God, he couldn't have contacted death. Why? Because God cannot die. To die, Jesus had to become human. He had to become a man. Jesus, as he was dying on the cross of Calvary in Matthew 27, probably one of the most significant verses in all the Bible, the most dramatic verses. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This cry fulfilled what David wrote, the king, in Psalm 22, where it was written, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? What Jesus was doing, this was a prophecy from the Old Testament written hundreds of years before David was pointing to Jesus, to the coming Messiah, and Jesus dying on that cross when the sky went dark and God turned his back on his son, rejecting him in that awful moment. This was the deep expression of the anguish Jesus felt when he took on the sins of the world, which caused him to be separated from his Father. Notice all throughout the New Testament, Jesus called God Father. My Father this, my Father that. And it drove the religious people crazy. Who does this guy think he is? If God's his Father, what does that make him? The Son. And it was not right. It was totally irregular. But Jesus called God Father. But here in this passage, he says, my God. Why doesn't he call him Father? Because God turned his back on his son. He was separated from his father. That's what Jesus dreaded when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane and he sweated great drops of blood. It wasn't the physical anguish he was going to go through. Of course, that was on his mind as well. But it was the time of separation he was going to have with his father, when he said, Father, if there's any other way this cup could be passed for me, if there's any other way humanity can be saved, let's do that. But not my will, but thy will be done. It was a prayer of consecration. He was settling it once and for all. He was going to Calvary's cross. The physical agony was horrible. But even worse was this period of spiritual separation from God. Jesus suffered this double death, so we would never have to experience eternal separation from God. Jesus had a period of separation, so we would not know eternal separation in hell from God. The meaning of sabachthani spells it out so clearly. In the Greek, it means a cry of distress. Thou hast left me to desert, forsake, leave helpless, abandoned, forgotten. That's my promise. Jesus was not only God's only begotten son, he was his only forgotten son. This Jesus suffered. He died not only physically on Calvary's cross, but he experienced spiritual death. Which you might say, what's that? It's very simply separation from God. He was separated from God. God turned his back on his son. He could not look on sin because Jesus became that on the cross. It shows very simply separation. The substitutionary work that Jesus did on the cross for us is so evident. He took our place. The alienation from God, Jesus suffered on our behalf. Jesus was separated from God for us. And because of his sin, for Jesus was the spotless, sinless Lamb of God. Not his sin, but our sin. Our sin, he was separated from God. Our sin nailed Jesus to the cross. A lot of times you'll hear people raise anti-Semitic statements and beliefs, saying that the Jews killed Jesus. Others will say that the Romans killed Jesus. I have news for you today, boys and girls. The Jews didn't kill Jesus. The Romans didn't kill Jesus. We did. Our sin, the sin of all humanity, put Jesus Christ on that cross. Galatians 3 tells us, Paul the Apostle, looking back to the death, burial, and resurrection, says Christ, Jesus, has redeemed us. He's redeemed us. He's bought us back from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Jesus was made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Where is that written? Glad you asked. Deuteronomy 21. Jesus fulfilled prophecy that was written hundreds and sometimes thousands of years before he walked on the earth. Old Testament prophets wrote these things. King David, this was written by Moses, Deuteronomy 21. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that hanged is accursed of God, that thy land not be defiled, which the Lord thy God gives thee for an inheritance. The word here, cursed, that Jesus in Galatians 3:13 says, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, meaning the cross, means to invoke judgment or disaster upon, to curse, to denounce, to detest utterly, to abhor, to abominate. He who is hung on a cross is accursed of God. The Apostle Paul used this injunction to draw an analogy to Christ. Just as the corpse of a criminal was under the curse of God, so Christ, hanging on Calvary's cross, bore the judgment of God, the same shame as every condemned criminal who was crucified. Well, what is that curse? In Deuteronomy, it's the curse of the law, the curse of poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. Redemption is ours today through Christ becoming a curse, as reconciliation is ours through his being made sin. Jesus took our place. That makes me ever so much more, even more grateful than I could ever be for what Jesus did. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, for he, God the Father, made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin. But he was made to be sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. By virtue of Jesus' standing with God, he declared us righteous. Righteousness means the ability to stand in the presence of God without any sense of guilt, fear, inferiority, or condemnation. It means the ability to stand before God as a son, as a daughter, not cowering, not crawling, not begging, but saying, Daddy. That's what Jesus purchased for us. The innocent Jesus was punished voluntarily as if guilty, that the guilty might be gratuitously or freely rewarded as innocent. Guilty. But because of the blood of Jesus, he's declared us innocent. We see the results of sin from a biblical perspective, and looking around the effects of sin on our society and world. As we look at the hysteria in the world, today right is wrong, wrong is right. The effects of sin on society and the world, we see spirit, soul, and body. Yet the human spirit and our soul is an eternal thing. It cannot be destroyed. Jesus lived by faith. He taught by faith. He healed and did miracles by faith. And bless God, he died by faith, trusting in his Father. Jesus spoke words of faith on the cross. Luke 23 tells us, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Jesus was saying, Father, I commit my spirit to you in full faith and trust of your staying power. Romans 10 from the Message. But trusting God to shape the right living in us is a different story. No precarious climb up to heaven to recruit the Messiah. No dangerous descent into hell to rescue the Messiah. As we sang, after Jesus died, he descended into the lower parts for 3 days. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from Satan, and he then turned and he gave the authority to us after his resurrection through his name. The matter is settled. It is already done. I am made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the unrighteousness is in the deep. No man can say, not a one of you can say, well, there's things I got to get taken care of before I can receive Christ as my Savior. You don't know what my life's like, Pastor Scott. I've done too many bad things in my life. Not a one of us can say that we have sinned so badly that God would not nor could not accept us. Because Jesus paid the highest price, he paid the lowest price by faith and love. Jesus handcuffed himself to humanity and joined us in our death so we could join him in his life. 1 Timothy 3 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, that's Jesus, justified, declared righteous in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. To be justified means to be declared righteous. And if Jesus was declared innocent, he would have had to have been declared guilty at one point. And that was at the point on that awful moment on the cross when God turned his back on his son and Jesus cried out in anguish. Jesus paid it all. It doesn't matter how low you feel that you have gone in life. Jesus went lower. It doesn't matter how deep in sin you feel you have gone in life. Jesus went deeper. Not of his own sin, but our sin. Jesus bore our sin. He became our sin on the cross so that we could be declared righteous with Christ's righteousness. Jesus was and is God's only forgotten Son. God the Father will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Jesus died for you. Take it personally. Say, Jesus died for me. I'm going to close here. When Jesus died on Calvary's cross, he experienced the judgment for our sins, spirit, soul, and body. When he cried out in that deep anguish and agony, it reflected the burden of our sin, his complete identification with sinners, and a real abandonment by his Father. He experienced our spiritual alienation from God so we could experience his spiritual union with God. He took our distress so we could know his comfort. He took our rejection so we could know his acceptance. He took our helplessness so we could know his power. He took our defeat so we could know his victory. He became our sin so we could know his right standing with God and come boldly into his presence as sons and daughters. He bore our sickness so we could know his healing. He was forgotten so we would never be. This morning we have come to hear about the victory Jesus purchased for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus Christ hung between heaven and earth, rejected by both, taking the worst both could offer, and he triumphed. Jesus wins. You see, the focus this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday morning, must not be on the sin of God, sin of the world or the wrath of God, but rather we must realize that Jesus triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. Sin could not stain him, and hell could not hold him. Praise God. Jesus forsaken? Yes. We must remember all that Jesus went through in fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy. Because the Father forsook his Son, turned away from him, forgetting him for that awesome moment of the cross, and bore our sins, we can be confident that he will never turn his back on us. May we forsake the sin that made the Father forsake the Son. And remember this, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Amen. All right, this time, if we'd bow our heads and close our eyes, we're gonna pray right now. Anybody here today within this auditorium or watching online right now, if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and today you would like to take that step of faith, let me tell you something right now. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if you will believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. That's what you need to get to heaven. That's what you need to have an abundant life right now. Right now, if that's you, I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray with me. We're all going to pray out loud together. Or you might be here and you say, Pastor, there's a time in my life when I did receive Jesus. But today you want to recommit your life. You pray with us too. You can recommit right now. Here's the bottom line. If you believe in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead, but then you need to confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. That's what we're going to do. You might already believe that, but you need to make that confession. That's prayer. So all of us here, let's all pray out loud together. The folks here at Abiding Word, the regular members and attendants, let's agree in prayer. And those watching online, you pray with me right now. Say this with me. Say, dear God in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I believe he rose from the grave and he's alive today. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I want to live for you who died for me. And from this day forward, regardless of what comes, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ all the days of my life. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.